You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Temptation Island Rehap Up. I am Maggie Morgan, and with me today, as always, is the charming, charismatic, the one and only, my beautiful friend who I get to see in person in just a few days, the amazing Kirsten McInnes. How are you today, Kirsten?
I'm doing great, Maggie. I'm so glad to be back here talking Temptation Island with you. I was tempted last week, but I came back to you.
You were. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you didn't leave the island with Scally. You didn't leave the island with Scally.
I leave Love Island with Scally. Temptation Island, I'm leaving with you, baby.
Thank you, Kirsten. Thank you for holding down the fort and letting me go on my trip.
Oh my God, your pictures were beautiful.
Scally was such an amazing replacement. I really, really appreciate that. And I want to bring in, because we have a really awesome guest this week. This was a thrilling get. I got a text from Kirsten literally as I was getting on the plane to go to France and having to turn off my phone. And she was like, I booked the one and only Dr. Evie Jagoda on the podcast. And I was like, this is thrilling. Welcome to the podcast, Evie. How are you?
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I feel completely honored to be talking some hot dummies and islands. It was a long day of work for me, so I'm excited to take the brain out, fill it with feathers, get the old feather brain, and start talking some hot dummies and islands.
Feather brain's feather only.
Only podcast.
Feathers only for brains. That's what we're doing here.
I really hope that person has stopped listening. I feel like we've shamed them sufficiently, right? They're gone.
I think it's bold to listen enough to a podcast to want to leave a feather brain. It's just like, I can't relate with the iTunes reviewers. That's a species I'm not familiar with.
Oh my gosh. So Evie, have you watched Temptation Island before this season?
I have. And I feel
fantastic news.
Yes, you thought that I was just like rolled up here and caught it for this. No.
No, okay. Evie knows more than us.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like possibly from listening to that, none of you have seen the infamous Temptation Island season 2, which has popped up on this season. And that is the main season I've seen, is season 2. So I feel like quite an expert. I would say the season 2 finale, reunion show of Temptation Island was probably like the most depressing and made me feel worse about myself thing that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Why?
Because I kind of watched season 1. My partner really watched season 1 and I like absorbed in the background. And then I was like, okay, fine, I'll get into season 2. But this was like, I was like young at watching reality TV. This was like before I became such a reality TV show watcher. And back then I believed in the premises. I mean, not really. You know what I mean? It's not like
Like, what does that mean? You believe in the
premises? I would say, it's not that I thought that people went on Temptation Island and that their relationships would be better. But what I believed, what I know now is that the perceived best outcome that the show puts out there is that you could trade in your shitty boyfriend for a different shitty boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what they are putting out there.
It's like you can trade in a boyfriend who hates you for one who tolerates you.
Yeah, for like an F-boy that came onto Temptation Island. Like that's like the, and there was, so Deke, who he is back to steal your girls.
Okay, yes, please educate us on Deke.
Okay, so I would say in my head, the main character, the ones that I remember the most from season two, was, I honestly forget their names, but there was, it was like a girl and a guy. Okay. I feel like the guy was like Casey, maybe. I feel like that was his name. And they were like college sweethearts or something. They were kind of like the Edgar and Jillian. Role, but it was very much like, she didn't want to be there at all. She just like loved him and wanted to get married. And he was like, this will be fun. Which is just like, no, it's not. It's not going to be fun. Like,
nothing about it seems fun to me. Not a single moment would be fun for me. Yeah.
If you want to be in a relationship, don't go on Temptation Island. Like that is just like obvious. And when, you know, a monogamous relationship in the way that these couples are presented, I suppose.
I looked up, I found an article, Temptation Island's Casey Starchak, Instagram, Twitter, age, job, everything you need to know about the star.
And what, is he like a red-haired dude or something?
Yeah, a little gingery.
And what was his girlfriend? Do you remember?
It says Ashley.
Ashley?
Yeah.
Another Ashley. Everyone sad day for Ashley's. Yeah, sad day for Ashley's on the
cancer.
Show.
Oh. It adds a this, no offense to my boyfriend who is a Cancer. No, but Maggie, me and Sasha talked about this on Mess Magnets for that will be coming out next week. Cancer men are a different breed. But it's also like everyone I love has major cancer placements. It's fine.
Water science, right? Is that that's astrology?
That's a water science. That's right. Look at you go.
Okay. So Casey and Ashley. And she really didn't want to be there. He was really into it. And then pretty quickly, she decided that she was over him. And like, you know, he did something she saw on the bonfire or whatever. And then she was in basically a love triangle with this guy, Ben, and Deke. And those were like the two singles. And so they were like fighting for her. And she completely was over her boyfriend. And then the story was just like, which of the two singles, Ben or Deke, is she going to pick? And the hilarious thing is that she picked Ben. So it's so funny that Deke came in so like confident and like cocky when it was like he was literally like the reject single force in the love triangle.
He didn't even successfully tempt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like a failed tempter.
If you're going to have Temptation Island within Temptation Island, he was like that tempter, right?
Right. It was definitely a fun storyline. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that was entertaining. But I mean, so. Okay, but the thing is, I believed in Ashley and Ben. I was kind of like, oh, Ben seems so nice. Like, I feel like that's actually a good relationship. Like, F Casey. Mm-hmm. Also, Casey proposed at the bonfire, and she left with Ben. Like, it was...
Oh, my gosh. That's cold-hearted.
Wait,
major spoilers.
Yeah, major spoilers. I also just found an article where... But then at the reunion, they only dated 2 days?
Right.
What?
Then her and Ben didn't even really date. Like, it was, like, really, like, oh, like, they actually, like, seemed like they were actually a real couple. And then it was like, oh, no, they didn't even date. And every single other couple, there was, like, one that stayed together. There was, like, maybe two others that left with a person. None of those worked out. They were all horrible. Mm-hmm. And I was just so, like, I thought I wasn't as naive as I was, but then I was like, oh my God, I was like so naive. And I just felt awful.
Ben, so what did you? He told her he was busy with school and work and then broke up with her 2 days later to go on a camping trip with other females. This article, stop it. Don't say it. Females about
females, people. Not females.
Social media influencer confronted him, but he promised her that nothing inappropriate happened. Then they saw each other in California and Ben pretended he didn't see her.
Oh my God.
Oh no, cold world.
Wait. And then she found out with 100% proof that he had slept with single Rachel Hamel, who is Casey, her ex's new best friend.
Oh.
This is dramatic. I mean, I wish I watched that season.
Well, I can't wait to. I'm going to binge this
season.
You got to
go back. Because also, Shower Girl, like, honestly, I don't remember her from the show that much, but I remember her from the reunion. Because they showed that clip in when she came on the show. Like, that reunion, that guy was crazy. And she, like, basically, like, hooked up with him after they got back. Like, it was just like, Oh my God, this is the messiest, the most disgusting group of people ever.
This is the most disgusting show ever. Like, I can say that with certainty. This show is disgusting. You're right. That's the perfect way to describe it.
And it's disgusting and so stupid.
You know, it just, but now though, now I've evolved in, I learned how to watch reality TV and like that, this is fun. Like this is
protecting your peace.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to like be that invested that you feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, like that's what I've learned. That's how come I can watch Housewives now. I elevated in my watch.
Absolutely. You know, I have been, this season has, last season, basically when I would watch, I would just be like, ugh, the whole time.
Because Kendall was so horrible.
Horrible, horrible. And this season, I've started to laugh through most of the episode. Like last week's episode and Edgar came back from the bonfire and sat down and was like crying and was like, Jillian, I said I didn't want her anymore. And then it panned over to his temptress, Marissa, like slowly smiling. I openly cackled. I was like, this is a horror film. Like, this is insane. Just like, wild behavior from these people. Like, how is this real? I can't.
I feel like the other, just to set up my mind state of this, and there's this amazing podcast called Game of Roses. Have you guys ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's like about, it's mostly about The Bachelor and like Bachelor shows. And they just completely treat it as a game and like treat the people as like players. And like, especially for The Bachelor, it's just like makes sense. It's like, these people know it's very, very unlikely that the outcome of the show will be like, they fall in love and get married and have babies. Mm-hmm. The real outcome is like, you get Instagram followers and that gives you money. And you know, the best case scenario is like, you become the next lead or you become like, you know, the winner.
A model.
You're like, yeah, exactly. And just like thinking about it that way is like gameplay. And like, it really is like a lot of like strategy and stuff like that. And that's the right way to watch these shows. That's what I've decided. And it makes it very fun to watch. And I would say this season of Temptation Island has some good players. Like, what's her name?
No, I agree.
Trace. Trace is a fucking genius. Trace is a fucking genius. And we could talk about it more, but like, I think she's amazing at this game.
Okay, so I think then maybe we should just start and talk about Ashley and LaSalle then so we can hear about it. Because I think if we're going to do it like that, I feel like Tracy is an amazing player, like a smart player, but like maybe one of the dumbest people I've ever seen.
Those are not related.
I don't understand, like, Trace. My biggest thing with Trace is I'm like, you don't know where you are. But but you're accomplishing. That's why you're saying like Trace is a genius. Like she's decided where she is and she's decided that this is the way it's going to go down. And it's happening. She's like, I am on The Bachelor.
Right.
Like he has to win me over. Like I'm done with this tempting stuff. He is going to bow down at my feet and beg me to take him. Like, how did she do that? I don't understand.
Right. I mean, it's a high risk strategy, right? Because it would have been like been very easy for him to just be like, well, this is too much work, whatever. But it's like, remember, like he came in, right? The whole thing with Ashley and the South, like they're too comfortable. And like, what's the opposite of comfortable? Like drama. And like, it's just like she made him like, which I'm not saying this is like necessarily intentional, but like she definitely picked up on that. Like he just like right away was like, no, wait, I have to win her back. And like, she's mad at me. And like, that's clearly, I mean, he can't handle when people are mad at him. That's why it's like make announcements at the pool. You know what I mean? Like,
no one else talk to me.
But she just like tapped into that's the thing for them to the point that man, after a 7-year relationship, 3 weeks on Temptation Island, told her that he wants to like marry her. Like what?
Like Evie, okay. I wasn't here last week. Can I please just give my one thought on that?
Please do. Absolutely.
What the fuck is going on? Like I can't. That's all I have to say.
I was sitting there, I finished watching the episode, and I was like, why isn't Maggie here right now? Like, I don't know how to process this without her. But the only one thing I would challenge about the 7-year relationship, Evie, is that they can't possibly be that comfortable together because Ashley has never seen LaSalle's emote.
Right. I feel like he's one of those people that, like, he uses a lot of words but never says anything. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like he says feeling words, but, like, even when he's saying, like, you know, it's always like, I would love to say that I'm upset. Just like, you know what I mean?
Like, no, Evie, my mom calls it word salad.
Yes.
Like, my mom, when she talks, she's like, LaSalle's is saying word salad again. Just like,
yes,
you're so right. Because he, and that's the thing. I think Trace, like, pushes him to be like, okay, but what do you mean? And then he has to be like, oh gosh, I actually have to talk. And, like, we've been watching Ashley now for 7 weeks on this show.
Wait, like, there, she seems like the 7 weeks?
Yes, it was at least episode 7. So yeah, 7
oh,
weeks.
God,
but, like, I think it might not be that long real time, but whatever. It's a few weeks at least.
Well, no, but I feel like I've only done 4 podcasts about it, but I guess this is the 7th.
She like, this is the thing about Ashley. Like, we've been watching her for 7 weeks. She is, like, the most passive person I've ever seen. Like, she does not seem at all like she ever gives an opinion or a thought or, like, stands up for herself in any way. So this is the thing. Like, I think that LaSalle's, throughout their relationship, has placed a lot of, like, as seen in, I don't want to jump ahead, but in the video message that he sent her, which, like, Jesus. But, like, that video message, he said, like, you know, I have all these obligations. And I think that he's put these obligations on himself and then assigned them to her. And she's just been like, okay, I guess, because she's not really talking about what she wants or what she feels, you know? Like, I think that he basically has been in a relationship with himself, you know, like, just bouncing his own ideas off of her.
I can see that. Well, and, like, even still, like, she's allegedly really getting to know Blake and having a connection with Blake. Where? When did that happen?
I mean, I think that is just such an example of just, like, how little she had that Blake is, like, when they kissed and she was like, that was magical. I was like, that was not magical. I could see from here that was not magical.
Her foot didn't even pop.
Oh my God. I've had more magical kisses than that on, like, the floor of a grimy bar dance floor. Like, come on, Ashley.
That sounds like that could be magical.
Okay, Maggie. Sometimes things get a little wild at the, I don't even know. I can't even think of the name.
But was it the last episode or, like, 2 ago where him and Trace got in, like, he said the thing of, like, I want to leave single with Ashley. And then Trace shut him out. And I feel like his handling of that situation, I was just like, this is what their relationship has been for 7 years. She's mad. Mm-hmm. She is very clearly mad.
Yes.
He spends all day just, like, talking to other people and being like, I don't know, I thought we had fun. And, like, now she's mad. Like, I don't
and
know.
And then he gives her spaghetti with tin foil on top. Like, the
eight-hour-old
spaghetti. Like, what?
It's like, never asked her what was wrong, never tried to talk. You know, you're just like, it's like, this is how this relationship has lasted 7 years. Like, things will happen. He'll just ignore them. And then Ashley will eat some pasta or something. And that's...
Okay, that pasta looked like it was a plate of noodles with a jar of salsa on top. I'm sorry. That's what it looked like.
It wasn't crushed tomato. Like, what? I don't know.
We don't
it
need to rehash.
There was no seasoning in it anyways, which is never a good situation.
We need the guy back who was, like, cooking food for Iris. I feel like he needs to, needs to help out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
He's still there. I don't know.
Pasta came from, like, craft services and was in, like, a chafing dish all day. That's the only thing I can assume. But that happened last week. And then this week, him and Tracy, they are more solid than ever, I guess.
I have a question because we saw in a clip of them all waking up in the morning after, like, other people, you know, were together biblically, that Trace, biblically. Like, Trace woke up in LaSalle's bed and I'm like, so clearly they're having sex. Like, clearly this is happening. Why are we not seeing this? I do agree that the right clip is him saying he's in love with her. Like, that is the one that trumps everything. But, like, I don't know why.
If we don't see a clip of them having sex at the next bonfire, then I have to assume that maybe they're just like making out or cuddling.
I would not be surprised if part of Trace's thing is like, I'm not going to have sex with you until we're actually together. Mm-hmm. Like, which I honestly, like, it's clearly, it's like, yeah, she's bringing like very wild energy for like her role on the show. But like, she's just like, that's the other thing. It's like, for her, also, what is she getting? Like, she looks like a badass. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like bizarre. But like, you know, like, all the other, like, if you have, if you are especially like one of the women temptress, you're just like throwing yourself at men that have partners. Like, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? Or it's fun, you know, whatever. People can do whatever they want. But I just feel like she like gets to leave with like a lot of dignity for like the show that she's on. You know,
like, she's doing embarrassing things that gets to leave with dignity. I like that a lot.
I noticed that also when they were all like in the lingerie party and Lascelles was in his banana hammock after he gave her the public lap dance, which, oh my gosh, he doing that. That was the one that I was like, I can no longer watch. This is getting to the point of beyond cringe. But he was sitting like talking to her at the table and she was like, cover up, put on shorts. I don't want everybody to see mine. And I was like, whoa, this is like getting intense here. Like she's telling him to put on shorts so that nobody else can see his, you know, whatever, because it's hers.
Referring to
Which is like really, really bad. Like if you're like, I don't, if anybody needs to hear this, if you are in a relationship with someone who is trying to control what you are wearing at any point, that is bad. That is not okay.
Also, like, there's a difference between being like, this is not appropriate for the situation, which it was every single one of the guys had it, and then being like, I don't want them to see this because it's mine.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what's happening here,
Trace? It's not attached to your body, Trace.
Can I ask you about something? Because I have not... I have not desired the male form in quite some time. Is the banana hammock lap dance sexy? Because it was very gross to me. Like the thrust, you just thrust at him with the weird upper.
I have always found I've all strippers I find like it's not for me, but like especially when you hear about someone going to see men stripping, like I guess I could watch Magic Mike, but I wouldn't want to be at Magic Mike.
Like I understand the abs and the pecs and that, but the banana hammock thrust at you, I don't know.
The issue, Evie. Yeah, I think the issue with it is that like the lap dance and like the stripper is like clearly something that is like men want to see women do.
Right.
But like then to just like be like, oh, so women would want to see the exact same thing if it's a man, like that does not translate really.
Right.
Like
there's a male gaze ruining everything.
Exactly. Like like the male gaze, but then they put a man in there and it's like, I mean, sure, like it's fun, but like if I'm really wanting to be like turned on, no, I'm not ordering a stripper in a banana hammock.
Well,
like,
Number good one. To know. I'm taking notes on what's
it's just like how if you look at like male power fantasies and they are putting on what they want, which is like power and hyper masculine, but then if you like, I feel like there's a good comic where it talks about Batman, where it's like, this is what men think Batman should be because he's powerful and sexy. And then it's like, but if we made it features that like women tend to like, he's got like big eyes and like really sweet and rounded. And it's like, different things appeal to different sensibilities. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't like a lap dance. I don't like to watch a lap dance in any capacity. Like, right. Everybody, you can do your thing. But there was like 5 minutes of me watching lap dances on this episode.
Lot, right?
And I did have to turn away.
I had to turn away. It was a lot of episode.
Well, and also, because we started talking about the lingerie party. I have only ever heard of lingerie parties as like before someone gets married, you buy them a lot of lingerie. Are people just having parties where they're in underwear all the time? Like, I feel like I'm missing out on, like, the fullness of life because I didn't know this was real.
I mean, I think those temptresses, it was on the nose, but it was effective, you know?
My favorite part of the lingerie party was Marissa having a thong underneath her lace panties. She'd be like, should I take these off and be in the thong?
Yeah. There was a lot being of that. I was just going to say,
being in theater school, like, there's so many themed parties. Like, every single weekend, it's a themed party. But I have never been to a lingerie party. I've been to every other name of a party where, like, people are just in lingerie. You know, like,
and you're making out on dance floors.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No. But, like, there was, in my college, there was a slutty Disney party where people dressed in lingerie as, like, a Disney character. Like, that's, like, a very, I feel, but just a straight-up lingerie party is, like, not super fun.
This is unrelated, but Maggie, do you buy that Luke has never been to a toga party until last week's episode of Temptation Island? Because I do not believe that.
No. I think maybe, like, I don't know, because toga parties feel like they are a lot of work in terms of, like, getting a costume. And it's, I feel like Luke is the type of guy. Yeah, but then you have to, like, get ties and, like, maybe some stuff for your head. Like, I feel like Luke might be the kind of guy who just shows up with his snapback and is like, let's rage, you know?
Fair enough. Okay. So for Ashley and LaSalle, with their bonfires, she just saw him say, I love you. What did he see of her? Was it just her, like, sitting with Blake? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I feel like they were, like, holding hands.
She said that she wants to be with someone who can express their emotions, and then her grinding on him. And yeah, Evie, that's when he says he wishes he were upset, but he's not, which I was like, that is a dagger. That is a dagger. If I heard my boyfriend say that about something bad I had done to him. Oh my gosh, dagger.
It's also like that I feel like he was also talking about, it's like, well, now I feel less guilty because, like, yeah, I told Trace that, like, I want to marry her, but, like, she grinded with a guy one time at a party. So, like, that's the same.
He was really, like, deflecting to act like now everything he's done is okay when it's really messed up.
He's got problems, guys. He really does.
Like, the weirdo behavior is so, like, out of control. Sorry to any weirdos I may have offended.
Speaking of weirdo behavior, Mark L. Wahlberg was, first of all, just in general.
Thank you. But, he gives weird uncle energy, right?
Okay, I feel like he's, like, the weird, like, crusty celebrity version of the Nine Perfect Strangers woman. Did you guys watch that? Like, he brought them all here for this, like, weird experiment, and he's giving, like, weird therapy in groups. Like, it's weird. He's weird.
When he marched up to Ashley and was like, I'm too far away, and was looking at her, and literally, I wrote it in capital letters, he said, our brains try to protect us from pain. And unfortunately, that's what I'm trying to do, is to get you to drop that wall to feel pain. I was like, Mark L. Wahlberg, you better back up. Sit back on your log.
Yes. I feel like I'm going to ask my therapist about this. I'm gonna be like, is this okay? Because I know she watches these shows. So I feel like she can give me good intel.
And he's so much harder on the women, or like the femme people, right?
Yes.
Like so much more. Like Ashley was like trying to respond to this like enormous bomb dropped in her lap. And he's just like, I want you to feel it. I don't know that you will, but I want you to. It's like, what the fuck? The men get away with saying like nothing, or just like, I wish I could say I was upset. And he's just like, good job. Good job feeling. I'm here for you, pal.
Well, like Luke is out here being one of the worst men alive. And Marco Wahlberg is like, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of all the progress you've been making. You're learning and growing. And then Ashley like maybe needs a minute to process seeing her 7-year relationship say that he wants to marry somebody else that he's known for like max 2 weeks. And he's like, no, I need you to feel this pain. And like, I do kind of get, I feel like we haven't really seen Ashley emote either, which maybe is why she thinks it's okay that LaSalle's doesn't show emotions with her. But the approach from Markel Wahlberg is so bizarre. What I liked was when all of the girls were like, or sorry, the femmes were like, it's okay. You don't have to say the right thing. Just whatever you feel and like get through it. That was like, okay, that feels like helpful advice.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, and they were like, literally Jillian, like, cause Mark was like, I want you to, but I don't know if you will. And Jillian was literally like, you don't have to say you will. Like she literally was just like, you don't have to say that. Like, because that's the thing. I feel like when I was listening to the early episodes of this podcast, there was a lot of like, he's so smart. He knows stuff. Marco Wahlberg, he's a producer of this show. Like they're going and like talking to the producers and then they just tell him what to say to like he clearly his motive. He puts a front of like therapy. This is my opinion, but I think he puts a front of trying to help them, but he's just trying to get drama on the show. Like, what did he want Ashley to do? Like be upset and hook up with Blake. Cause that's like better for the show. Like he kind of sort of told Luke to do that. Well, Luke also was just like, so you're saying I should not jump ahead. But he's just like, so you're saying I should hook up with the girls. I could do that if you want me to, Mark.
That's a good Luke impression, actually.
I honestly, too lovable, could never be Luke.
Thank you.
I the first episode of the season, I was like, Luke is like, I don't like him, but he seems like fine. I don't know why Maggie hates him so much. And then second episode, I was like, worst man alive. Maggie was right. He's trash.
I was with Maggie.
Yeah, no, Maggie knew from the start, and so did you.
I saw the photo of him on the boat, and I was like, that is a guy I would fight at a party. That's a guy I would, like, start a fight with.
I cannot imagine you starting a fight.
Yeah, I would with him.
Okay. This episode, everyone got the opportunity to leave video messages for each other. Ashley's message to LaSalle's was just like, I'm growing and I'm learning. Like, I'm really excited to show the world the new me, whether that's with you or not with you. Just like, okay.
It was not mean enough. I wonder when they recorded them. Like, they didn't really make it. I guess it was after the bonfire, but maybe who knows when it was in the making out with Blake. It should have been meaner.
It was maybe too far after the bonfire. And like, if it had been closer to, maybe it would have been a little bit more reactive. And then what did LaSalle's even say?
I wrote in bold letters the part that disturbed me the most.
Okay.
Where he said, I'm allowing myself to discover I'm an actual human being with value outside of the obligations that I have as a partner. Okay, word salad.
It's like word salad, but mean.
Yeah. It's that, like what he thinks of their relationships is like the obligations of being a partner to like a fucking gorgeous woman who you are like not even like, it's just like, what are you fucking talking about? Like,
yeah, it's like he's a dog owner, so he can't go on that vacation because he's going to take care of his dog. But it's like your gorgeous girlfriend. I completely agree with you, Evie. It's so confusing.
Why?
And what is like the value that Trace is like showing him he has, like that his junk is hers? Like we just like.
Well, I guess maybe he's wanting someone who's going to be really jealous and possessive, which is not like an attractive quality in a life partner. Like you want to have a relationship with someone where they're confident in the bond that you have so that you don't like you have to act a certain way to earn their affection or that.
You're so right. Like both Kirsten and Evie about what you're talking about here, because you're so right. It's that Trace brings excitement and drama that mm-hmm. Ashley, just like watching her, like she's not bringing the drama. She's mm-hmm. on a show called Temptation Island and heard her partner say the worst thing you could hear your partner say, and she's not bringing the drama. Like, she's just like a calm, cool-headed, passive individual. And I think that this is just like very exciting for him. Like, that there's mm-hmm. someone with passion. I imagine from what it sounds like, the way that they've described their relationship, it's super passionless. So just like passion in any way, whether it's positive or negative, is going to excite him.
Right. I feel like that's so right. It's like you want your partner to give a shit, right? You yeah. want them to care about you and want to like fight for the relationship. And the like shortcut to that is like instant jealousy and Temptation yeah. Island possessiveness, which is what Trace is bringing, which mm-hmm. literally just was like, oh, okay, I guess that's what like caring about me is. Like it's
yeah. yeah.
I'm just so curious why some men date women when they clearly don't like women. Like, I yeah. don't get it, but
I mean, whatever. Why do people date men, you know? It's like
Evie, I wish I knew.
No, it's hard out here. Okay,
I mean, it's proof that sexuality is, you can't fight it, because exactly. otherwise no one
not a
be
choice
doing that, you know.
Should we go to yes. The next one, Jillian and Edgar, maybe, or should we save them?
I think we should save them and go to maybe Iris and Luke next. But right. maybe we should take a little breaky poo first.
Love that for us.
Yeah, we'll be right back. And we're back.
Iris, so and rested Luke. From our break.
So rested, rejuvenated. I'm a new woman. How concerning is it to both of you that Iris is a big enough Temptation Island fan that she recognizes a contestant and is excited to see them?
Well, I have
and
to
say that her boyfriend knows. Like, right. her boyfriend knows about how much she likes him.
Yeah.
Right. I did recognize Deke, as I've said. So
it is a what you have dumped into his arms.
No. Certainly not. I also, like, watched the episode twice too, because I am a good student in preparation for this podcast.
Better and, student than me.
And they showed the like clip of him coming in like three different, because it was like in the bonfires and in the cat. And if I have to see him go like, nah, that was disgusting. I will now never forget him.
He's burned into your brain.
He is, I might follow Deke on Instagram because I think his posts are really funny, because like they're almost good, but then they're like really badly taken.
Mm-hmm. Well, Iris likes the post, so you know,
I like, well, her posts are much better than his.
I like that when Luke was like reacting to that, he was like, I just think that Iris is strong enough to be able to to distinguish him and I, like I just thought that was
what
hilarious.
Does that mean?
It's like, what I need from my girlfriend is for her to know that is a different person than I am.
That it's a different person than I am, and I don't want her to sleep with him.
Like, those you are didn't my even say that part. You just have to know how to tell the difference between that guy and me.
I mean, they don't not look alike.
I do think that this exact moment, though, like, taps into all of Luke's insecurities. Mm-hmm. Like, watching his girlfriend being the life of the party, and then this guy walks in saying, daddy's home, in the same douchey tone that Luke would say it. Like, Luke would say it in that tone, you know?
And I feel like I've been doing a lot of work over the years to try and get people to stop saying daddy in this way, and now I feel like a lot of the work has been undone because people will think it's funny to do a little Deke impression.
We can't give Deke that much power.
He's an alpha quote. Disgusting.
Big Deke energy. Yes, gross. I mean, I do think, though, like, we have never seen Iris that excited about anything before.
No, nothing. Right. No. Well, and, like, so first of all, she was obviously blackout drunk because they're all right. wasted at all these parties.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she is not clicking with any of the tempted, like, the male tempters, right? Mm-hmm. And so then someone comes in that she has kind of, like, a celebrity-esque crush on. Yeah, she's going to be excited.
Mm-hmm,
she just discovered having fun in a respectful way.
Right. I do, though, feel very certain that they're going to get back together. Iris and Luke, I think they're leaving together.
I think so, too, after the messages today. I feel like their video messages were very, like, proud of you for growing. I'm also growing, and I love you. Like, it was very reassuring on both sides.
Okay, but Jillian and Iris hang out all the time. Like, they've gone to festivals together, and Luke is nowhere in sight.
They're not allowed to post if they're together until the show is over.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Kristen and Julian were living together still last year, but couldn't tell us till the reunion.
Yeah, but also, if I've learned anything from the season 2 reunion, they might leave together, and you think they got back together, and then they break up after 2 days. You don't know, Maggie.
It's true. It's true. We'll have to wait and see.
So excited for the reunion. Oh, I feel like that's the most fun part of any of these shows, is when you get everyone back together, and they've gotten to watch at least some of the show.
Mm-hmm. I think on the, like, Luke thing, like, I think that what makes him so, why he's such an instant red flag, but then why he's also, I think, going to succeed in keeping Iris. Like, he definitely is, like, you know, I know that Jillian and Edgar went to acting school, but he is also clearly performing, right? Like, I feel like the producers, like, know that about him. Like, I feel like he gets a lot of the, like, narrator roles. Like, he definitely is, like, a showy guy a little bit, you know? And, like,
Scott Disick energy a little bit.
Maggie! I wrote down Scott Disick. I literally wrote that down.
Whoa. Okay, but, like,
same page.
And not to get myself canceled, because I know Scott Disick is really problematic and not, like, a role model, but at least he's funny. Like, Luke's not funny. Yeah.
I don't know very much about Scott Disick, but Scott Disick is, like, entertaining. Like, we would watch shows that he's on. Like, Luke?
No. Yeah, Scott Disick dates, like, suspiciously young women, like, legal, but... Mm-hmm. Not by much. It's a weird vibe, but at least he's funny on the shows when he's on. Mm-hmm. Luke could never carry a show.
But also, Scott has had, like, 12 years of experience on reality TV.
No, he was a star from the start. How dare you? Oh,
you're right. I'm sorry. Maybe watch those early episodes of Keeping Up and but it's very much like smarmy guy energy going on. Yes. So I totally know what you mean, Evie, when you say that.
But the at the infamous banana hammock thrusting party.
Why did he say that? Why? Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm nervous, Reverend, to see what's under my swim trunks. It's a banana hammock. Who calls it that?
It wasn't even. It was a Speedo.
Well, what is the definition? What delineates a banana hammock from a Speedo?
Thong. A thong is a banana hammock. Okay.
Is it? Does it have to be a thong, though?
Because you would think it's defined by the interaction with the banana. Oh, but the hammockness.
Because it's like the little strings on the end, and then you sit in the hammock.
Yeah, but
part.
There could still be a butt on that, and it would still look the same from the front.
It could be a string bikini banana hammock.
Yeah,
potentially. I'm not familiar.
No, according to a quick Google search, it does have to be a thong. And now my
you really just committed to the audience for the audience.
I'm gonna be getting ads for male thongs for like a long time now, and that's not really something I'm interested in, and I really don't think it's something Josh is interested in. So
buy one for your boyfriend for his birthday. Is it coming up?
I feel like that is a very weird gift. That
he no context like, banana.
He doesn't, like, he doesn't want it. I don't want him to have it. I don't want to see it. He doesn't want to wear it. But yet I've spent like $60. Like, why? Why would I buy
when that? When they show your boyfriend the bonfire clip, it's going to be you Googling banana hammocks out of context.
Me and my just messy house talking to two people and Googling.
Do you think about that? I mean, I'm a little bit like, what would my clips be? You know,
I genuinely, like, I don't think that there would be any clips. Like, I don't think I do anything.
Me either. I'm literally obsessed with my partner. Like, it would just be me talking about,
like, literally, I'm going away for 5 days and I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. And he's like, it's okay. It's only 5 days. It's going to be okay. And I was like, but I'm going to miss you. And he's like, yeah, but like, it's not like it's 2 weeks. Like, it's only a couple of days. It'll be okay. And I'm like,
Marr. And that's why they have to use the banana hammock footage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But the good thing is, thankfully, I would never go on Temptation Island, so right. It's just not a burden I have to worry about. I was just saw Luke crying more, right? Like, what?
Yeah. So the video
was last. Like, week. Oh,
that was the bonfire.
But,
yeah.
But before we get to the videos, Luke at the banana hammock party though was a disgusting human. With the girl was sitting on his lap, and he's just like, "Go twerk for me" or whatever. That.
She's like, what? Are you asking me to twerk? And he's like, yeah, please go do, like, excuse me.
And then she did it. And he was like, in confessional, like, I've like, you know, Paige is great. Like, she's so special. She's a bottle rocket or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, and she's a bottle rocket ready to explode.
And then he's like, and same with this other girl. It's like, cuts at him with a nut. Like,
yeah, and fuck? It's like, I feel like we don't know anything about Megan or Paige's personalities.
No.
So, like, I don't know if they're similar or not. And maybe they have a personality similar to Iris. Well, I guess if we don't know much about them, they could have a similar personality to Iris. Like, that might be it.
Yeah,
but... just very bizarre. If someone ever was like, go twerk,
ugh.
I'd be like, first of all, thank you for thinking I can. Right. But then I'd be like, also, that will not be happening.
See, Trace would be like, hell no. You know, like, she did, you know, I'm not endorsing her as a person, but I just think she played this very interesting.
She's MVP. She's MVP of the season so far.
For sure.
Trace would be like, what? You want other people to see all of this? Don't you want it to be yours?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So these video messages that they get, Luke's video from Iris, she tells him she's learning to love herself. She says she wants him to take more accountability for
love
the recent
that.
Breaks in her trust. Like, she was very, I think it's clear that the women workshopped their video messages with one another. Or the femme people did it with one another.
Well, Ash didn't do one anyway, so.
Yeah, Ash didn't do one, but Ashley and Iris very clearly, like, put down boundaries, you know, said some serious stuff, like, weren't just like, I love you, I miss you. She said that she doesn't want him to invalidate her feelings anymore. And afterwards, Luke is upset because he's like, I'm in a place where I don't ever want to act like that again. And I'm more inspired than ever to keep feeling and being emotional.
I'm just like, the thing is, if he was truly in a place where he's recognizing bad behavior from the past and he doesn't want to repeat that behavior and he wants to move forward as a better man, he would be like, I get it. I feel bad about what I did in the past. And he would be upset about what he had done in the past rather than the idea that she brings it up. He's mad that he gets in trouble. He wants a cookie for simply not cheating on his girlfriend.
Yep.
That's
and unfortunately,
he says the words, I want to keep feeling. Like, you're not feeling if what you're saying is, I'm feeling. You know what I mean? That's like
what are you? What are you feeling?
That is weirdo behavior.
That is very true.
To quote Kirsten, weirdo behavior.
Everything about Temptation Island is weirdo behavior. I don't understand why anyone would go on this show. Like, I don't get the rationale behind it.
But see, the Edgar and Jillian, it makes me happy to think that maybe they went on the show to, like, be, you know, the actor famous. Like, that's, like, honestly, like, hearing they went, I was like, okay, I literally can kind of understand that choice.
But I was wondering about this today. Would going on a show like Temptation Island hurt you in the pursuit of becoming a serious actor? I don't know. I don't know about that industry.
Yeah, I really
don't know. I mean, I think that it's really hard right now to say anything definitively. You know, like you have people like Addison Rae starring in films, you know, like I don't know. Like, I think that exposure is exposure. And like, even if you aren't trying to be like, I mean, yeah, maybe if they're trying to be like serious Shakespeare actors, but also like if you're a serious Shakespeare actor, you have to study and do an MFA and do a ton, and nobody would even know about their stint on Temptation Island, you know? But if it's more like influencer hosting, you know, sort of mm-hmm. space, like I do think that there's some value to mm-hmm. this, you know? And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like why they did it specifically, but like I know them from acting school. So, right. you know, right. they have the training. That's why they're good on camera. Right. You know,
they are
they're
both very really good on camera. Camera.
Mm-hmm. They are. Yeah.
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 Okay. To talk, should we move on to them? Because
yeah, I think we should just lame. Like,
yeah, very salesman-y. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. Salesman-y.
What's mm-hmm. his job again? Let
I
me
feel
look.
Like it's sales or something. Like it was very much like you might have this theory, but actually this thing, like, I know I need this, but it's that.
They're it's listed. So the couples have shared bio pages on the Temptation yeah. Island website. Yeah. So it says Iris and Luke, city, Seattle, Washington, occupation, entrepreneurs, both of them.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, you could see him trying to like pitch, give me money for my thing. Like, you might think that I'm your shitty boyfriend. But I know now to feel, you know?
Okay, wait, I found his Instagram. I haven't looked at his Instagram before. It says he has a digital creator profile. And it says, Temptation Island Season 4, 6-figure Amazon seller, Amazon page at FBA Freak, and mentor to 500-plus students. So he does Amazon entrepreneurship?
What is
that? He sells things on Amazon, it looks like.
I'm very curious.
I don't understand. And then the profile for his entrepreneurship page has a pattern. It's a picture of him, an Amazon seller screenshot, a picture of him, an Amazon seller screenshot, a picture of him.
Okay, that's weird.
If you go back in time, there's pictures of him with Iris as well from 105 weeks ago.
6-figure mm-hmm. Amazon seller, but he splits the fast food bill.
Stay rich.
Yeah.
Honestly, true. Honestly.
But also mm-hmm. that's like embarrassing. I feel like,
yeah.
Like if you go, I feel like if I went to McDonald's with someone and even if they had like a massive order and I just had got like French fries, but it was like my turn to pay, I'd be like, okay, I'll pay. And then like next time you'll get me.
Yeah. Listen, I mean like money stuff, people have like weird, like you can have whatever dynamic you want, but the fact that she's bringing it up, I feel like you guys mentioned this, the fact that she's uh-huh. talking about it is like something is wrong from her perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know?
For sure. To move on to Edgar and Jillian. Edgar says before he sees his bonfire clip, I'm ready to see how else Jillian is going to hurt me.
Like, I'm so sick of this man playing the victim.
Yes.
Because like, based on everything we know from the show, they've both hurt each other. He has cheated on her. Like, you're not pure as the driven snow, Edgar.
Yeah. Like, literally, what did she do? I mean, it's just that she's, like, been made. I feel like the promise ring thing was probably.
I think that's what really, really hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, it's. Yeah, I think the promise ring. But again, like, I remember when that happened, I was like, Allie was on with us, Kirsten, and yeah, she
we
was
were
like,
what's wrong? Why do people have promise rings? Stop it.
And Allie was like, I feel like yes. this is unfair because like Jillian's clearly like blackout drunk talking about this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, what is I think that Edgar's just like a dramatic person. Like he writes poetry for this girl that he doesn't know, you know, like
no,
I just
he
think
writes
he
one
is.
Poem and reads it to every woman. I believe that with my whole soul.
And this clip is just like she's making out with Tommy and he's
all
writing.
Over the place in the pool yeah. against yeah. a wall.
See, yeah. that looked good. I must say, like they're good at making out together.
They are good at yeah. making
they're
out.
Hot.
They're
the
hot.
Only better couple at making out is Ash and Taylor because I like the way he grabs their throat lives in my brain. Mm-hmm. I cannot get it out.
It's all Ash okay. for me. Like the way he's there, but like the stuff that she's doing sometimes, I mean, it's not surprising, but they are. Yeah. I like watching this show. You know, there's things that are good about it.
Ash, well, I don't want to jump too far ahead to Ash. I'll wait. I have a lot to say about Ash because, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who knows how to do beat by beat for the camera? You're talking about a story behind the eyes? Ash has got you covered.
Star of the show, truly. But okay, Jillian and Edgar. Okay, Jillian and Edgar. Jillian and Tommy, they do make out very well.
They make out well. They're hot. Edgar says he's just relieved that they weren't having sex. And like Marco Wahlberg is like, why do you think like, do you feel like you are like to love more than the person that you're with? And Edgar like single tears and is like, yes, I think I do.
What does that mean? Okay. What does that mean?
Also, when he's just like, it hurts to love her, Mark. Like, you're the one that cheated. Like, it's so gross. Like, he really, like, took this narrative. It's pretty annoying.
And then notice that Jillian, okay, they said before they left, the rules are it does not need to go further than a kiss. Sure, Jillian and Tommy went in the shower, but I didn't see any of her clothes get removed. We watched through that shower door for like 2 minutes and no clothes got removed. And I feel like that's where it would have gone. And Edgar's the one having sex. Like, I'm sorry. I don't think that Jillian, like, is she being super respectful? She even said to Tommy, like, my bonfire clip is about to be really bad. But Edgar was the one who broke the rules. Like, Edgar had sex with Marissa. So, like, you know.
Yeah. Edgar got his feelings hurt because, I mean, nobody wants to watch their partner kissing someone else.
Even, of course.
Like, as you know, I think it was Scally and I talked about it last week. Like, even if you have an open relationship, that doesn't involve watching video footage of the open relationship happening, right? But she didn't break the rules. He went straight 0 to 100. He said, home run or nothing. I will not stop at any of the bases.
Also, when he gave Marissa that lap dance, that was deeply troubling. And Marissa said, like, to quote Marissa, she said, he wasn't just giving me a lap dance. He was giving me a lap dance and looking into my eyes and soul, which, like, nightmare fuel for me. The idea of a man giving me a lap dance and staring into my eyes and soul.
Just like really intense eye contact while they
I would shut my eyes. I would be like, I'm not a part of this. I'm no longer a part.
I think I would physically recoil. Like, I think I'd have like a hand up and be like, no, please, enough.
What would you do?
I did not enjoy that was probably my least favorite part of the episode, I would say, was the Edgar lap dance.
I've seen one time a lap dance as part of a drinking game at a party. But, like, lap dances are not just, like, a normal thing people do when they drink.
And they're like, so awkward to watch.
Yes.
They're terrible to watch.
And the girls, like, really know what they're doing. And the guys, I mean, again, it's just not my thing. But I just don't think that those were good versions of, even if I could imagine the thing, you know? It's just the upper male thigh for me. I just don't need to see it.
I'll get in trouble if I start talking about thighs on the podcast. Chappelle's drag me.
Is Chappelle pro or anti-thigh?
So the situation is that in certain circumstances, I could be pro-thigh. And one time, Chappelle saw me tweeting recklessly about that and screenshot it and sent it to Brian Scally behind my back. And now they will never let me forget the two of them.
That's rough.
Rude.
That's rough.
They're so rude. This is why don't let you see Chappelle tweeting. You see him being messy and reckless. Not let that make you become reckless because it only works for him. It's not for anybody else.
Yeah, he gets it's cute on him somehow.
Yeah. It works. It's like, oh, that's Chappelle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid Chappelle. That's seven energy. You know, he can get away with it.
Yeah, I don't have that seven energy. but you're right. Like, just like, I don't think I want anybody, like, I just can't picture any configuration of these lap dances in which I'd be like, yeah, get it.
Yeah. I did kind of, I don't know, I feel kind of happy for Marissa about the sex. I don't know. I just feel like...
It sounded like she was having a good time.
It sure did, you know, and that's great. That's all we can hope is that if sex is happening, that people are having a good time, you know?
That is the goal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? And, like, cool. I always forget that this show is going to give us full audio at times,
it's
you know?
A lot.
You never expect to see people hooking up under the blankets and also hear them hooking up under
the
blankets.
Oh, the sound? Yeah.
At least we didn't see full thrust the way we did with Ash and Taylor that one time.
Well, Ash had the sheet down behind their back. Like, it was, we were always going to see the motion.
Full thrust.
Dude, there are good things about this show. That's all.
So, the video messages. Anything else to say about them throughout the week?
I did think that Jillian's message was kind of weird. Like, I kind of understood Edgar's reaction.
It was weird. I want to say one more thing before the messages. I know that it makes sense, but I laughed so hard when Marissa and Edgar left the lingerie party and she's in really sexy lingerie. And then we cut to them in the bedroom and she's in a big t-shirt and shorts, which, like, makes sense. Nobody wants to sleep in, like, sexy lingerie. But it was just a very different vibe. And I... cracked up.
Also, I get it. I get it, Marissa.
Oh, it makes total sense.
I'm happy for Marissa. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it sounded like she had a great time, and it really did sound real to me. It did not sound
Oh, yeah.
Evie is a Marissa stan, it sounds like.
You know, I just want the people that I don't know. I just get, this is the thing. I'm not going to watch the shows. There's people that I like, and Marissa, I don't know. I decided she was one of them. I kind of liked that. I kind of like when the temptresses are, like, not all in. Like, I think that was fun. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm having
a game of cat and mouse.
It was also, we missed at the party, there was the confessional with Chrysalin and Trace.
What
where
was that?
Chrysalin is like, oh, obviously Edgar likes Marissa better than me, so I'm out. And it's like, yeah, we know. We've known for weeks. You just found out, and that's sad for you.
Was that ever a plot point? Like, I don't even remember that person.
No.
For like a moment.
She liked him.
Was that what Trace was trying to do?
Yeah.
Is that why Trace was trying to like break him and Marissa up?
Yes. Trace is a big brother.
That's what makes sense of it, right? Because last week I was like, why was Trace doing this? Like, for what reason? But then you see that it's for Chrysalin, her best friend in the house. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate how the show doesn't even try to give, like, full narratives. It's just like, yeah, sure, they're going to have no idea what this person's talking about. Like, whatever. Like,
you don't need to know their names.
Yeah.
And it's I always, when I watch the show, I'm like, imagine being one of these tempters who are not on the show. Who, like, you can see in the background.
Right.
Like, my favorite thing is that they don't even make an effort to update their cast page. Sam and Deke have not been added. They are not on the page and they never will be on the page.
But honestly, Maggie, which is better? Like, I guess you don't get like the couple thousand Instagram followers, but then you just got to have fun in Hawaii and not have your parents see you have sex on TV, you know?
You got to drunk for free, a free vacation to Hawaii, and it's not so embarrassing because no one will ever know that you were there.
Right. But you do want to be in it enough that you get like a sexy, like one of the clips, but like in and out of the commercial.
Yes.
You need to get one of those because those are good. I would accept one of those.
So the video messages.
Okay. Yes.
Jillian's message to Edgar, I think I felt like it was like her trying to be like, I'll love you forever, to be like, when this is over and we're no longer together.
Like, but we'll still be best friends, that. I feel is what she meant.
But she never said that. No. So it was really confusing and weird because she was just like, I love everything about you. I'll always support you. You're an amazing person. And it's like, so are each other's shoe going to drop?
I feel like she was breaking up and she just needed to say, and I'm sorry that it's over, but I will love you forever. Like, she just needed to say that one piece.
But I think she was hedging it. You know, I mean, I think it was on purpose, right? Like, she was leaving it open that if he wasn't necessarily thinking that it could go either way. And that's why it fell flat, because it wasn't really the breakup message, and it wasn't really that I want to stay together. It was like kind of pulling the line.
I did just get a text 15 minutes ago while we were recording this podcast from Ali Lasher that says,
oh my God,
Jillian's message just fucking sent me in all caps. And that's the whole text.
Incredible.
Yeah, because you're so right, Evie. Like, she was like really kind of like trying to toe the line in, I think, a bad way. I don't think that was like super nice at all.
Yeah, like I liked the part where she was just like, like, I'm so excited to see what you do next. Like, that really felt like we're breaking up. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, I'll love you for the rest of our lives. And then it was just like, what?
Weird. Well, because they were best friends before they dated, okay? Right. So, but like, what,
for like 6 months of college before then they dated for 3 years?
I mean, if they lived on the dorms, 6 months in the dorms is like a lot longer in the outside world. I feel like it's like the Big Brother house in that way.
That is fair. That is fair.
So, but yeah, Edgar's message to her, where I wrote this down. He says he doesn't really have a lot to say.
Wait, sorry. No, first he's like, "Hey, G, it's E."
It's a video. We know who it is.
But in her video, she said, "Hey, E." So clearly that's when they call each other, also, like E and G.
I feel like it's a very, I feel like calling people by a first initial doesn't always work for every letter. And I think both G and E are odd letters to call someone.
As an E, it's not good. Like,
no. Like, if I came into the podcast and was like, "Hey, I'm here with M and E."
M is good, though. I think M is good.
Yeah, M I think works.
But my little brother's name is Elliot, and we call him E.
Okay. And it works.
We do.
It works for Elliot.
We really do.
It doesn't feel right to me, but maybe I just don't know. Like anyone.
But it's because you're not saying it in a menacing, "I'm mad at you" way. Like, it's E.
"Hey, M, it's K."
it's so weird.
So then he says,
"Sorry.
I don't really know." That was hilarious. That needed to be said. He says, "I don't really have a lot to say. I want to thank you for bringing me on this journey, and I hope you find what you're looking for." And he's very clearly super pissed. Mm-hmm. And Jillian afterwards says, "You know, I think he has a bit of anger." And I was like, "No shit. Like, he's pissed."
Yeah.
It's very funny. I'm wondering if the videos were filmed before or after everyone like hooked up. Like,
yeah, I felt like from the way it was edited made it seem like Edgar recorded it before he hooked up with Marissa. Mm-hmm. But I would honestly buy either version, because it's like he did that and then he was like, "Well, now I can definitely go hook up with Marissa," or "I just hooked up with Marissa and I did that." You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
like,
it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'm so interested to see what Jillian is going to do when she sees Edgar have sex on national television. Like,
I mean, she's gonna go fuck Tommy. Like, that's
and honestly, I would like to see it.
Yeah, you know, if we're gonna watch this show, you know,
like, this is all of this. Every single bit of this is more entertaining to watch than stupid Kendall having his threesome last year while being an actual abusive piece of shit. Like,
so I never watched season 3, should I? It sounds
mostly boring, and the drama largely comes from a man who is like actually abusive, so it's really like not
a true like sociopath.
It culminates, he wants to leave with his girlfriend, but she has like wised up and is like, "Absolutely not." And then he goes to the tempter and is like, "I want to leave with you." And she's like, "Yeah, okay." And then at the reunion, it's like they never really dated. She ghosted him because he sucks.
You guys have to watch 1 and 2. It's like, they're good, honestly.
I wonder if there's a way I can like download them to my phone to watch while I'm on a plane. Because I think that would be would I be put on some sort of list for watching Temptation Island on a plane? Like, there could be children around.
No, I watched Goodfellas on the plane, and that was crazy violent. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want a child to look over my shoulder.
It's yeah, like, but so like in violent. North America, it's like kids can see violence, but God forbid they see a nipple, you know?
Yeah, I once watched one of the very graphic Game of Thrones episodes, like sexually graphic, on a subway platform, and I was nervous. Yeah, but here I am.
You didn't get arrested, so it should be fine.
Just don't jump the turnstile and you can get away with anything in New York City.
True. Yeah.
So last but not certainly not least, we have the shit show of Ash and Han.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Can we take one more break before we do that? Though? Just to like refresh, you know, get ready. So we will take a quick break and we will be right back. And we're back. Oh, my God.
Very refreshed. Very ready.
Very refreshed. Before we talk about their relationship, I just want to say I really hope that you do get to interview Ash. I know that you
Ash said yes.
Yes.
I DM'd so Ash, said, we're loving your story on the show. We'd love to interview you after the season. They said, absolutely, within literally 2 minutes. And I told them I'd get back in touch about scheduling at the end of the season.
I mean, first of all, they're just absolutely amazing on this show. But also, like, I'm sure people listening to this podcast know that, like, I filmed Survivor. I was using she, her pronouns then. And between filming and airing, I came out as non-binary and started using they, them pronouns. And I really don't know of, like, anyone else like that. And I feel like Ash is, like, the other person that I know about that has had that experience. Kristen and I were talking about this offline, that we don't know exactly what Ash's gender identity is, but they have started using they, them pronouns. And it's just very cool. And I would just absolutely love to know more about that experience for them. Because also this show, sorry, not to get like serious for a second.
No, but it's important to talk about the serious stuff when it comes up. And we're really lucky that you're like willing to talk about this on the podcast and educate us all.
Of course. No, I just think it's really interesting because I know for me, it like one part of it was that I was like, you know, you're doing the show, you are reflecting on your feelings a lot, like obviously a very different show, but like, you know, you're being interviewed all the time and like, all this stuff. And it like really did like, and you're in a really different environment than you're used to. And it really did for me, like bring up a lot of, you know, it was like, it put some of my gender things like on forefront for me. But then there's also the thing that then you're on a national TV show and being perceived by all these strangers. And like, there's definitely an element of it's like, for me in my life, before I, you know, started using they, them pronouns, came out in this non-binary, like before that, I feel like the people in my actual life, like knew who I was, right? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a shot, like it was like, oh, okay, Evie's going to start using like different pronouns for like the thing that they obviously already are. You know what I mean? Like, but then there's all these strangers, like, you know what I mean? Like you had like, it's the silly example, like coach, like coach from Survivor, like with one of my like preview videos for Survivor, like wrote like at John Cochran, like your future wife. It's like, what? Like,
I mean, that, like, just let's be honest here. Even before you know, coming out and using different pronouns, I feel like it was very obvious that you were never going to be Cochran's future wife.
I mean, first of all, way out of his league. Second of all, I mean, the video that was literally me being like, I'm out here for the queer kids. Like, it was literally insane. But like, but anyway, it's just like, there's this element, right, of being like perceived by all these people. And I think it's like, I'm really interested about Ash's experience on a show where it is like very like sexualized and like very gender. I mean, it's like the men here, the girls here, the, you know what I mean? It's just very, very sexualized and very gendered. And I'm just so curious about their experience and like how that, you know.
Yes. And like, the other thing too, is like what this show is so aggressively heterosexual.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And like a lot of the feedback we get on this feed is like, I just wish the shows were more queer, which I think we can all relate to that. Like, it's always having like more types of people only makes content better, not worse.
I mean, yeah.
And so like, I totally get that. But it's like, if there was queer dummies on islands, that would be someone else's feed. That would not be my feed. So
I mean, have you guys seen the MTV Are You the One season, the queer season?
I'm saving it. I know it's amazing. I'm like Do you ever like save something when you like, know you need something good, like you have it in your back pocket?
It is so good. And it's such a perfect example why it's just like, literally take the mess of a show, of a dating show with straight people, and then just multiply it by a million. Like, it's just like, it just like literally like increases the mess times 1,000. And everyone's just like somewhat more interesting because like they have like the minimum, the person with the least substance has at least something interesting to tell you about themselves. You know what I mean? Like, like, I don't know if that's offensive, but I just think it's true. And I think like,
it's not offensive.
Yeah. It just, and there are, I mean, X on the Beach is probably the other show that makes me feel horrible to watch. And that the MTV shows actually have a lot of queer people and like bisexual people. And
hey, they had that double shot at love and shot at love.
Was way like ahead of its time, I feel.
I watched that. I was about 12 years old watching Tila Tequila. Mm-hmm. You know, I was too young for that. But, you know.
What's wild, and not to make this a political podcast, but it's actually so wild that we were watching a double shot at love with Tila Tequila on MTV like way back, and now she's a literal Nazi.
Oh my god, is she?
I have look at her Wikipedia page. There's a whole section about her Nazi beliefs.
What?
So oh my god.
It's like one of the wildest things like
wow
in the world.
That's terrible.
Well, yeah, it's obviously horrible, but it's just like we know her as this like drunk mess who will have sex with anyone. And then it's like, oh,
I'm sorry. What? I'm laughing at the fact that I said that's horrible. And Kristen said, yeah, Maggie, obviously it's horrible.
Then I was like, oh, am I making it seem like I don't think it's horrible? I need to affirm that I understand and agree that it's horrible.
I love how you're like, not to get political, but Nazis are bad. Like, I think that's an acceptable take. Well,
I think it's acceptable, but I know that
we're just a couple feather brains over here.
This is the point in the podcast where I feel like it's divulged from me realizing I'm on a podcast to me hanging out with two of my friends. Like, I'm now just chatting with some of my friends.
Yeah, yes. It's probably a problem, but also
that's what people are here for. As a listener of this podcast, that's what I'm listening for.
Thanks, Evie. Thanks.
I'm like fangirling, yeah. And you're like, no, I listen to your podcast.
No, I mean, I listen to your podcast. Oh my God. Like, yeah.
Okay. So,
okay. No, let's get into it. Anyway, all that's to say, Ash is so cool and the best character on the show by far. And I'm so excited for you to talk to
them. They are such a star. I wonder if we can convince them to hang out in New York. I'm pretty sure they live in New York.
Right? I feel like they were living in, like, Santa Fe, though, or something at the time of the show, right?
Yeah, because they were going to be moving to New York, and so Hanya was like, I want an open relationship when you move to New York. And then when they started hooking up with someone way hotter, suddenly Hanya doesn't want an open relationship.
With a completely different body than Hanya. Completely different
body. That is, like, what an effortless drag.
Literally. I feel like Hanya instantly to me, like, it was, like, Luke, like, obvious red flag. But Hanya, to me, it was, like, the much more, like, recognizable gross guy. Because I feel like, you know, in, like queer world and also just, like, lefty world, I feel like you find these people, especially, like, guys, but also just, like masky people who are, like, oh, I'm not like other guys. You know, like, I'm, like, deep. And I have, like, long hair. And I just, like, want to, like, I'm not, like, an F-boy. I just, like, physical intimacy is like essential to me. You know what I mean? Just like all these kind of like
buzzwords. Yeah.
Like how pretty much every other guy on dating apps these days has ethically non-monogamous in their bio, but they're not all doing it ethically. They're just saying that.
Not all the guys on Tinder are ethically non-monogamous. Like, I'm
exactly right. And it's like, I do not believe that your non-monogamy is ethical, Chad. Right. No, or they're all on there with their like girlfriends, being like, "We're looking for a third."
Right. Which, like, again, fine, you know. But it's just like I just clocked Hanya immediately.
That's so funny, Evie, because I think that just goes to show like I'm like deeply Midwestern. Mm-hmm. So Luke, immediately I was like, that picture of him on a boat, I know exactly who he is. I've been on one too many boats with one too many Lukes. And like Hanya, I don't think that I've spent a lot of time in like any sort of space with guys like that. Just because Hanya,
Like I'm a dom, but then it's like a 50 Shades of Grey dom where it's just abuse.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know, but
we don't know. Like, those are the vibes. What he is like sexually, other than that, he cheats on his partners
a lot of cheating.
He will introduce people to his partner by saying, "This is my friend,"
and this is so crazy. This is the part about all of this that I feel like, because at the beginning. Like, we were listening to what Ash was saying, and we were like, wow, that sounds terrible. But, like, is Ash, like, the show presented it, like, maybe Ash was being a little dramatic or didn't know what she was talking about. Mm. And there's been this slow reveal. Oh, apologies. Yes, that Ash didn't know what they were talking about. And there's been this slow reveal, like, throughout the show that, like, Hanya is, in fact, a monster.
And that, like, they had seen the text.
I really wonder how much that text influenced the energy that they were bringing this whole time. Cause like, imagine like they were going, I mean, obviously they knew he was kind of shitty always, like, but I just really feel I can just picture the scene of like, they're in quarantine for the show, you know, like hopeful. And then they get that fucking text. And then like, I mean, we saw like the first bonfire, like he wasn't really doing anything. And Ash was like, well, I knew he was a horrible person.
No, that makes so much sense.
You're so right.
And also just, I mean, if I was dating someone and I saw they had gotten a text that was like, are you here, daddy? Come like fuck me right now. I would be like, well, you'll never see me again. Literally, like when Maggie starts, you'll never see me again. Like, I'd be out. I would disintegrate into like dust and blow away out of the hotel room window, and I would never be seen or heard from again. Or you could be smart like Ash and proceed with the show and make everybody know how crappy your partner is.
And Ash is taking their power back. This whole time they've been taking their power back. And they're like, I'm not sending a message. I have nothing to say. Taylor, get over here. We're going to my room. Grab my face. Yes. You know, everything.
Grab my face in the gentle, sweet way that I love about you.
Yeah, that is so funny. It's so funny. Oh, Taylor's so gentle and sweet, and it's like straight up choking against a wall. And I'm like, oh, like, I mean, do whatever you like. Awesome. I'm not shaming. Like, it
looks
we
do have to talk about, we have to talk about this. Okay, we haven't talked about it yet.
We have to talk about the serenading. What?
No.
I think this is the right time for me to share that the last date I ever went on with a man, I feel confidently to say, in my entire life, he sang to me.
And I mean, no.
I gave up on the entire gender as a result.
What did he sing?
Was it one
Silent song? Night in February, one Jew to another.
Wait, why? Just for to show off?
It was, he felt like it was the right thing to do. It was snowing. Like,
was it supposed to be romantic?
Yes.
Silent Night?
Yes. Yes. An entire verse of Silent Night. I laughed out loud and then had to be like, oh no, he's serious. Like, oh no, it was bad.
I do not know how to process this information, but if that man is listening,
I hope he's not. I would feel
I hope he's listening because he needs to know.
Like, I mean, there's someone out there, there's one of the Ashleys that wants you.
See, the thing is, whenever people do stuff like that, that is so cringe, I am forced to believe that nobody cares about them because nobody is willing to tell them how horrible that behavior is, right?
I did like that Ash was like, I was super nervous. I thought it was going to be super cringe. But in the real time, they're just like, I'm obsessed with you. You play guitar? Oh, I'm so obsessed with you. Like, that's the hottest thing. Like, I don't know.
I said out loud while they were singing, oh no, oh no, oh no, over and over and over again. I could not handle it. As like, okay, I also think this is just like something weird in my performer brain. Like, as a performer, watching someone I am romantically interested in perform is very difficult for me, even if they're amazing, even if they're the best performer. Like, and it doesn't matter, acting, singing, dancing, a comedian, it doesn't matter. Even if they're literally amazing, it's very difficult for me because I think I know it's such like a personal, like deep part of your soul. Like, I really can't watch. Like, I can't. It embarrasses the shit out of me. So this was so embarrassing.
I feel like a lot of emotions have been embarrassing you lately, Maggie. And I think there's a lot to unpack here. I feel like a few weeks ago you said it was like embarrassing for someone to really know you. Like, I think that we need to do some work.
No, that's not true. I think that the thing though about, and this has always been the thing though, like the performing thing. I think it's just because it's like you have to be so vulnerable to do something like that. And if you're with somebody, like if you, your partner who you are incredibly intimate and vulnerable with is then like putting their vulnerability on display for other people, I think it's more like a protective thing where I'm like, I can't watch because like I need this to go well because like this now is an extension of like my heart. I think that's what it is.
This is very deep and I think important, and I'm now going to ruin it with like a anecdote from my life. So I'm sorry.
No, please, please.
Last week I went to see a high school production of Legally Blonde, the musical. Yes, it was worth every cent. It was incredible. It was like a really rich school put it on. So they really had all the stops, and it wasn't at the high school. It was at like a theater. It was like a real like theater production. But me and Josh went to the performance where all of the like students who board at that school went to. So it was like all these rich kids in their school uniforms watching the show with us. And so there's like some kisses in Legally Blonde, and the kids behind just be like, oh, take that, Johnny, your girlfriend's kissing someone else, like the whole time.
Oh no.
I was like, I feel embarrassed for these children when they go back to school, and maybe they need someone to be protective over them. Like you would be protective over
my partner. And maybe it's because I was in a production of Legally Blonde in high school and I had to kiss a boy in it too.
Wait,
and
who
I got
are
made
you?
Fun of. I was Vivian.
Beautiful. The girl who played Vivian in this one was so good.
Really?
Do you think that seeing a high school production of Legally Blonde should be the next Temptation Island date?
I love that idea.
I think everyone should see Legally Blonde in whatever form they can. And so if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
I think Jillian would be so into it. Like, I just already know that she would be so, so into that. So I think that that's the one she would pick.
Beautiful. And it was good. Sorry.
I believe it. No, I know. Evie really brought us back around and reminded me we were still on a podcast.
Yeah.
So
I just didn't have much to add to that discussion. So I thought I'd loop us right back.
Hey, so Ash and Hanya.
Right. Oh, yeah. But also the song. It was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
The song was embarrassing.
Hanya, when he told Karina, you're so beautiful, but if I wasn't so in love, I'd totally bone you. Like, dude.
And she was just like, yay.
Like, when I knew that this show was at least a little bit bullshit, when I believe it was Karina who was like, I just really care about Hanya. You don't.
Yeah. No, Karina, I feel like, is another one. I'll put her in my list with, like, it's a different list. Like, Trace is, like, a really good player, but then there's, like, Marissa, who for some reason I really like, and also I would put Karina in the for some reason I really like. Like, I feel like Karina is just, like, yeah, she said the thing of, like, I really care about Hanya, but I feel like more than that, she kind of, like, sees through him a little bit. I mean, that whole scene.
She's a therapist.
Like, oh,
no,
she?
She's not. Nobody on the show is a therapist.
That's what her tag was underneath.
Yes, she is. Okay, I swear to God, 4 weeks ago, we were like, someone was listed as a therapist.
Yeah, you're right.
I clicked every single woman's bio, and not one of them said therapist. And now it says mental health therapist.
Mental health therapist.
That's why she has his number.
This website is gaslighting me.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel like that whole scene where he was like, don't pretend to kiss me, but like, maybe you should kiss me. That was so toxic. Like, that was such a, I hated that.
I feel like even if I was like playful with someone, pretending to kiss like him or whatever, and then they said something like that, I would be like, oh, I no longer want to kiss you because all of the like sexiness is out of this scenario now.
And it was literally just like, I am not going to kiss you because that would be cheating. But like, if you kiss me, there's nothing I could do about that. But like, if I tell you to kiss me, that's the same.
But, and also, like he said, they're going to show him saying that before they show the kiss at the bonfire. Like, it's not like you found a sneaky loophole where you can say, oh, they kissed me. Like, she kissed me. I didn't want it. Like, stop it.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's so, I had such a visceral reaction to that, that when you were quoting that, Evie, I literally like rolled my eyes and was like, ugh. Like, as though it was being said all over again.
And you can just see, I mean, we know it says MO, like, you can see him in a bar being like, oh, like, you know, I have a friend, so, like, I can't kiss you, but, like, maybe you should kiss me. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Gross. It's a visceral dislike, and so, I can't help it.
Do you want to talk about his video where he had the weird accent?
Yes.
I mean, talk about his video.
I mean, thank God Ash said the thing about him like talking weird, because as he was talking, I was like, what is he doing?
And that's the thing too. Like, Ash recognizes, they know that Hanya is not a genuine person. They know when Hanya is performing.
Right. It's like, not that I feel bad for him, but it's just like kind of sad, because I think some of the other stuff he's been saying was so much better. Like, if you took one of his confessionals where he was like, I thought I wanted an open relationship, but now I see that I don't. And like, it makes me, I'm sad to watch Ash like with this other guy. And like, I hope it's not too late because I love them. That would be like, actually, I don't think it would win them back, but like, that would be good.
It would at least maybe be possible. Like, this isn't winning
something for them to think about. Yeah, something for them to think over.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. But. I've been living, it's like Mark L. Wahlberg bullshit. Like, I've been living in fear instead of love. Like,
I've learned so much. See you connecting. What have you learned? And I'm so proud
of you.
I've come to realize that I've pushed you to follow your heart, and I was living in fear. I know what I want, and I'm no longer afraid. I love you, and I can't wait to see you. Like, it was so, like, he said it in a weird
and
accent.
I can't wait to see you.
It was so bizarre. I was like, huh? And Ash was disturbed.
Did you write down what Ash said? I rewatched that like over and over again.
They said, you know, he has no idea how to make something not theatrical. It was like from a Shakespeare play. Like, not when did you push me?
Not to make everything some fucking theatrical piece of shit. It was so...
Because not only is it theatrical, but it's bad.
Right?
And I'm so glad that they picked up on it. Because I literally, as I was watching it, I was like, why is he talking like that? And I was worried that like they would just be like, wow, I can't believe they said that. But the fact that Ash like knew immediately what we were thinking was perfect.
Their face during the whole thing was so good. Like, he's like, I've seen you connecting and I'm proud of you, and they're like, such a visceral like,
what?
F you.
I don't like, I don't want, you don't want it. Like, no one wants Hanya to be proud of them. Nobody's asking for that. Like, that's a meaningless thing that he's saying, because he's still not addressing any of the relationship problems. He's just acting like he's somehow solved some sort of deficiency in himself, and everything will be okay now because Ash is growing and he's learned about himself.
Terrible.
I don't understand.
And again, he has admitted shit. Like I feel like there actually have been, not that he's good now, but that there have been good things that he's realized. Like, wow, it was bad of me to be like fucking around all the time. Like, there's just so many things that he could have said that would have been so much better than that message.
Yeah.
Hard agree.
Yeah. But no, he said none of them. And then, of course, Ash did the power move and did not leave a message for Hanya. I love this for them. And I love, like, Hanya, like, fell apart.
So good. I mean, he went in and he was like, I'm just hoping, you know, the producers were like, so what do you want to see? And he was like, I just need them to tell me that they love me.
I really like, he's like, you know, I really just needed a message from Ash, but I guess not getting a message also sends a message.
Yeah.
You think? Well, yeah. Evie, last season, this guy who was like fully cheating on his girlfriend the whole time didn't send him a message, and he still went back to the villa and was like, eh, it's fine. She'll get over it.
Oh my God. Wow.
Just insane behavior.
Well, but that's because he, like, the relationship that we're talking about from last season, Evie, literally this woman woke up at 4 a.m. every day to iron her boyfriend's clothes. Yeah.
That's so it was sad. Dark.
It was bleak from the get-go. Ugh. That was in their intro package.
Like, gloating about that on TV. Like,
ugh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just had full confidence that he could win over anybody because he was obviously, again, I'm not a doctor, I can't diagnose anyone, but like narcissist vibes.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
What I do really appreciate about the season, like I said, the thing that made me so sad in season two was that so much of the like, oh, I realized my boyfriend's bad was because I found this guy who's like amazing now. And then those guys all suck too. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like even though like, I mean, Ash is definitely like obsessed with Taylor and stuff, but I do think that their hatred of Hanya is unrelated to that. Like that's completely essential. Mm-hmm. And I just love that for them because it's not going to work with Taylor. And I feel extremely confident saying that. Like they might be together.
What if it worked out? What if they ended up married?
I think they'd probably hook up from time to time.
Sure.
You know,
a little you up text.
Listen, we all saw it. It looked great. I hope that, you know.
They're having fun.
Am I too comfortable on this podcast?
I mean, no, there's no such thing. And we love fostering a safe place where people can show their true selves and be from the street.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but they hate Hanya, and it's not about it's like, and they found Taylor. Those are two separate things, which I appreciate.
Well, Evie, do you have any overarching thoughts on the season in general? Like, what do you think about these couples? Do you have any predictions of where we'll end up? Thank you so much for joining us. Also,
yes, thank you.
This has been a long ride today, and it's been so fun.
It's literally absolutely my pleasure. I have been extremely excited for this ever since we got it in the books, and it was so much fun. Overarching thoughts. I mean, it's hard to have super deep thoughts about Temptation Island.
Of course.
Well, if you could try to be cerebral, please.
Oh, yes. Let me take the feathers out.
Put on your doctor hat. Yeah, put on your doctor hat.
Yes, sir. Yes. I mean, I think it's a pretty good season. I think that, like, I didn't watch season three, but from what you all were saying, like, it sucks when, like, the girls especially are just, like, sad. Like, there's normally at least one person that's just, like, really sad the whole time. Mm-hmm, and I feel happy that none of them are like that. Like, even though there's, like, people that are, like, mad. But, like, even the mad people don't seem like they're fine.
Hanya's mostly sad, but also, like, trying to have sex with Carlin.
Hanya to be sad. And, like, Ashley should be sad, but isn't. Right? So it's, like, weird vibe.
Ashley, like, should be sad, but then, like, the nicest thing that's ever happened to her in the last 7 years is that a boy sang a song with his other boy. Like, so it's like, she's fine also, you know? Yes.
Poor Ashley.
I do think that this show has been on the air. Now it's like season four and people kind of understand the assignment. Like, even if they went in thinking that they were going to have a relationship at the end, it's like, they also knew what they were doing. So, you know, that's enjoyable. And I just no one going here believing that love is coming at the end. And
I hope that nobody else does.
Yeah.
Moving into the rest of the season or the next season, any viewers know, like, I think that I feel like one person from every couple here is like gonna fully cheat. And the only one that we really haven't seen do it so far is Luke and Iris. And I do think that maybe it might be coming. I don't know.
Yeah, I do think actually for me the saddest outcome is that they go back together and are still together. That's I feel like the most likely saddest outcome.
Yeah.
Because remember at the beginning when Iris was like, not to like keep, I mean, I clearly could talk about this show forever, but like, like early on, Iris was like, everyone in my family thinks we're going to get married. Like, imagine interacting that with that man and like thinking that they should marry your loved one. You know, like, it's honestly really sad.
But it's like stuff like that happens, though. Like, I broke up with an ex that I dated for 7 years, and it was like, I feel like not a great relationship. And like, he didn't really know my family. But when we broke up, my sister was like, oh, I'm so sad. And I was like, what? Like, you've never had a conversation with him. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. It's weird. Like,
people get weird.
People are weird. And, you know, think about dating people other than men if that's something you're interested in, because I think it's better. And
of course you think it's better, Abby.
From my completely unbiased, objective, scientific opinion.
Abby's in a relationship. It's not like they're like, okay, everyone, date me.
Right. But I also
I'm like, yeah, I think that, like, I hope Abby thinks it's better to date women.
Can you imagine if Abby was like, I actually think it would be better to date men, but I will never date again.
After watching Temptation Island, I just think that there's like a gentle, sweet guy out there who can.
That's your takeaway. Like, that is your takeaway from Temptation Island. I literally be like, Abby, can we get you somewhere? Can we get you to talk to somebody?
I'm just really, there's this guy on there, Mark L. Wahlberg, and
not that.
Well, but you know what? Honestly, if you're gonna get serious about a guy in Temptation Island, Mark L. Wahlberg can provide for you.
That is true. He does have the financial, but like the least of the Wahlbergs, you know? It's like,
well, I don't think he's any I mean, at least this Mark L. Wahlberg, to our knowledge, has not done any hate crimes, so.
You're very up to date with the celebrity cancels.
Mark Wahlberg has been canceled for a long time.
Is that I really don't know about real celebrities. I only know about the reality ones.
You're lucky. You're lucky because Mark Wahlberg is really bad.
He wasn't ever on my. Not my target.
I wouldn't have thought that he would have been. Okay.
We're done.
Yes, we've got to shut this down. Again, thank you so much. So much for joining us.
This is so fun.
Are looking so for fun. More from you, where can they find you?
I'm on all the things, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Evie Jagoda, 2 V's. Mostly, I'm just out here having fun. And if you want to see some... I don't know what you would see on those platforms, but just me being me. So I've been doing a lot less recently, which is fun. Like, but, you know, it's good. Anyway.
If you want the latest Evie updates, go follow them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Kirsten, where can people find you if they're interested in hearing more from you?
Yes. So you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What on every platform. I've started doing little Riverdale updates on TikTok, which I think is going to be my new niche because other people have been doing it and I think I'm funnier than them. So I'm just going to do it there. Mm-hmm. You can also hear me weekly talking about BoJack Horseman over on BoJack Horsepod. Talking about what else am I doing right now? Riverdale on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. And also the new wrap up on the scene is myself and Sasha Joseph. It's called Mess Magnets. We're breaking down pop culture, celebrity gossip, and trending topics. We have 2 episodes out so far. Third one is in the can for next week. And I think it's really fun. I would appreciate if people go follow so that Rob renews us and we don't get fired.
And you don't have to come on a podcast and not know who's canceled. Like, you guys.
We'll do an episode who's canceled.
Literally, you need to for me, for my purposes.
The thing is it's like we could say someone's not canceled and then something happens tomorrow and you're like, oh, shoot.
Right.
That's bad.
What if it's a who is canceled?
Well, I mean, then you get into the definition, like, has anyone meaningfully actually been canceled? Because people have done some really horrible things and they're like, Louis C.K. just won a Grammy. So, yeah.
Okay, but that's why we need your.
That's why, yeah, people so that
we know about Marky Mark and what he's done.
Maybe the who is canceled list comes out, after Rob keeps us and signs a contract or something, because I don't want Robert's getting fired over. But if you want to DM me, I'll let you know who's canceled that I know of. I don't know all of them. There's a lot of them. But yeah, that's it. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on TikTok and Instagram at @MLMorgan_. I did pull the plug and Twitter is no more, but you can find me there. And yeah, I'm going to be at Know It Alls this week in New York. So if you're there, come say hi to me, Kristen and Evie.
We're all going to be there.
Yeah, so come say hi. Tell us you enjoyed the pod. We would love to hear that. Love to hear from
you. And if you don't enjoy it, don't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
And if you heard something inappropriate, no, you didn't.
Yeah. If you enjoyed it, just.
Rob is going to listen to this one for sure, just because you're on it.
He's busy. You know, he's a busy guy.
He's got a plane.
Listen, yeah.
The thing about me is I would love to get to this level with Rob, but he makes me we're comfy, but not that comfy.
Yeah, you know? Like, I am very comfortable with Rob. I love Rob. And even though he's not that much older than me, I think of him as like an uncle. So then it's just, I would never go here with him.
When Lydia from Survivor 42 said to Rob, "I'm creaming," I was just like, that's why I'm obsessed with Lydia.
Somebody posted that video recently with regards to something on like the most recent episode of Survivor, and Rob retweeted it.
He loves it. He wants people to go there with him, but we're all too afraid.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. You can see the look in his eyes when Rob is about to make like a like Rob loves nothing more than to call someone daddy in front of me, because he knows it grosses me out, you know?
This is great info.
He loves it. Or I was like, oh, no one should refer to themselves as bad boys ever again. Like, it's gross. And now he'll always be like, oh, such a bad boy.
Oh my God.
So gross. Okay. But yes, come visit us at the live RATP next week.
This is the code. If you listen to this episode, you come up and you claim your feather brainness.
Yes.
I'm a fellow feather brain. Yes.
I was going to say, if you listen to this episode, you bring a vodka soda.
I would love that also. Yeah, a vodka soda. What do you like, Andy?
I want them to be wearing a banana hammock, but don't show it to me.
No one show us any banana hammocks, please.
But you can tell us about them.
Yeah, tell us it's uncomfortable.
Tell Kristen and Maggie, and then they can filter it to me.
Okay. This has gone too far.
Yes.
G&T's.
So we will be back next week. Well, I will not be back next week because I'm on vacation. But Maggie will be back next week.
I will never be here again, but it was so
fun. Oh, no. If you think that you've gotten out of this so easily.
I would love this. This is my favorite.
I'll be back next week with a very special guest. My mom. She agreed to come on. So it's going to be me and my mom.
Hell yeah.
Please pass along. Well, I guess your mom's listening right now. So, Mare, I'm so sorry I'm going to miss you, but I'm so excited you're going to be on.
Everyone else is going to be at Know It Alls, so I had to pull out the big guns. It's my mom. Incredible. She's coming on.
So we'll be back next week with Mary and Maggie Morgan, and we will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Now open at Cosi. Don't miss Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. This epic exhibit features over 200 authentic artifacts recovered from the ocean floor. Discover poignant passenger and crew accounts and majestic recreated interiors, including the iconic Titanic Grand Staircase. Tickets for Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition are on sale now. Book your voyage at Cosi.org. For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.